68 Mountain Con. And Imogen Heap.
Say Imogen Heap.
Music for Anything in Minds. Scotty J and the Explosion, I know, on X58 1246. Glad to be here with you today. Fiona Apple tonight at the Roseland, 8 p.m. Tomorrow night, Gwen Stefani plays the Memorial Coliseum at 7. Two great concerts and a lot of fun to pack in before the big holiday. Kala, British Sea Power, Nirvana, and the Joggers, all great examples of music for independent minds, up in 90 seconds.
I'm Tundra the Barbarian.
X58, and good afternoon to you, Scotty J, with Les Savvy Fab, David Bowie at 46 degrees. Is it going to snow? That's the question of the day. More rain, a snow mix on the way this week. Pure Hurt from American Analog Set, an Alien by the Revolution Smile. In your future, as we spin the latest from music for independent
minds. I don't understand. It's like he's just reading random words out of a dictionary.
Razor Light and Rip It Up. And the Shins, So Says I, music for independent minds. Scotty J at the helm, Deerhoof, and Low next on X58.
Okay.
Transport injury.
Scotty J on this Tuesday, the 29th.
Walking to the voting booth. Looking for the real truth. Vote your mind. Vote your mind. Find the bottom line.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from the City of Angels, Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
What was that?
What was that?
That's Scotty J's audition tape or something?
It's amazing that you guessed that, sir. Scotty J, or as it says on the front, Scotty J, one T, the less conventional spelling. That is Scotty J's demo CD, and it accompanies his resume here, on which he says that he is, quote, a people person, well liked by others, with dynamic interpersonal skills.
Hmm.
And then there's just a lot of weird sentence fragments here that don't make any sense. And then he's got this, look at this photo of him right here, where it looks like he's half lit in a bar somewhere.
Oh, totally.
He just looks drunker than hell.
That is the drunken Scotty J smile.
Hi.
Which we will all see today at Lycus.
Yeah, Lycus is going to be broadcasting here today. So, you'll be hearing a lot of drunkness.
Have you critiqued that for him, by the way?
Scotty J?
Yeah.
Well, if by critique you mean ridicule. In fact, Jim Rubio, a broadcast professional. Sarah, can you reload that?
Oh, I don't want to.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do, Jim Rubio. No, we'll just play. Let's play a couple of the the sort of commercials. I go to cut. I think it was 5. Let's see what this is. This is Scotty J. I think this is a commercial from.
I remember back in '74 when I jumped those 157 cars. Then there was that time in '85 when I launched over the Grand Canyon. And there was that time last year when I fell down the stairs.
The physical therapist program at Mountain Hood Community College, from torn rotor cuffs to broken backs, the students there give you the attention you need to get back to do what you do best.
Living life to the max.
Go to mhcc.edu.
All right, let's see. And what's...
Are you tired like I am of hearing about good pizza? I'm not about to brag and waste another 60 seconds of your life dwelling on how great a pizza is. If you want elastic cheese and a Goodyear crust that lasts, then this is your meal ticket. Why buy a whole pie when a slice will last just as...
If you want elastic cheese and Goodyear crust that will last, what does that even mean?
Maybe it's going to be a tire commercial.
Maybe. All right, well, let's play the rest of this.
It's long. With a patented crust, a buddy can grab from your mouth, drag across the room, and get the cheese to snap off in your face. It's an experience like no other.
God, what are you talking about? This is Pizza Schmizza, one of the best pizza in town in 2003.
Oh boy, give me a slice of that.
Several locations around town are online at schmizza.com. You need to go out and try it. It's good.
Oh, my bad. I mixed this up with the pizza company that annoys me.
Way to get us fired, dude.
All right, there we go.
So these are production samples and writing samples both?
What's that?
Did he write that too?
Scotty J., did you write that copy as well? Is that pure J.? Yes, yes, I did. Oh, there you go. It's that's just not a pure, distilled, unfiltered Scotty J.
What's his, what's the educational background there? Has he taken the class in copywriting and all that?
Yes, yeah. In fact, well, let's find out, actually, since, welcome now to the...
Scotty J., this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Now, welcome to the Scotty, studio. Summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
Our PA, Scotty. Scotty J., hello, sir.
How's it going?
Jim Roop is inquiring about your educational background.
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Hey, well, it's going well, thanks. Have you taken copywriting classes and all that?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Before or after you did that spot?
During. That was...
Is this one of the ones that your teacher liked?
No, he hated that one, to be honest with you. So I put it on my demo.
And so this is a... at what point were you planning to... were you planning to become a copywriter, or...
No, we just had to take classes, and I actually had to write a whole bunch of commercials for over, 3 months. So it was like every week you had to write two or three.
Yeah.
Are these real companies or fictitious companies?
That's a real company, and
they didn't pay for that, did they?
No, that particular commercial got a big veto.
I like how that's somehow the signal to you that it should be on the air check.
But it was kind of cool because I was first learning how to use the editing software back then, so I was playing with sound effects and stuff.
Yeah.
Can I ask one question? What did your teacher say to you about writing commercials? Is there a rule? Is there something that he said to you?
Yes. One thing in particular that sticks out is don't get a job in radio.
No, I meant, did he say something like, the object of writing, or the reason why we write commercials, or the purpose of a commercial is, did he ever say anything to you like that?
I think I know where you're going with this. It's that particular commercial, because it's all backwards and you're slamming the client, but that wasn't what I was doing. I was, at the end it says...
See, Jim, Scotty is working on a higher level than you and I.
Apparently.
Yeah, he really is, he's breathing the rarefied air of Scotty Land that only he really understands.
Well, it's not that the elements aren't good. I mean, the production value is pretty decent. I mean, it's just, I just had trouble following the copy. Because, if you look in every commercial, there's a problem. And the idea is to solve the problem in that commercial.
Right. And
so that company has a problem.
The problem is that we're lacking in badly written spots. And so that has been solved.
Oh.
And I felt I needed to dare to be different.
Well, it was different.
Yeah, we do. We have this email from a copywriter. Rick, I am a copywriter. No offense to our dear Scotty J., but he should get his money back from the copywriting class. Comparing food to tires and rubber bands isn't a great selling point. Yeah, that really is. Would you like to share with Jim Roop how much your college experience cost, Scotty?
Oh, somewhere around $20,000. All right. But I want to say one final quick thing on that commercial. The whole idea there was a disgruntled DJ that was tired about saying, oh, we have the best pizza in the world. And in the end, he goes, oh, I'm sorry, I mixed it up with another company. And then the guy goes, oh, you got fired. And that was the idea.
I see. You're playing with expectations.
That's right. I understood that.
All right. All right. Thank you, Scotty. All right. There you go, Jim Roop.
Hey, yeah, man.
All right. Hey, so we had this a little blurb about this yesterday about Tom Cruise, but it didn't make any sense to me because now I thought that Tom Cruise had already started some new production company with, I don't know, just some like guys in a room somewhere in Texas.
No. When he was fired originally by Sumner Redstone, actually Mrs. Redstone. The one.
Seriously, how old is she, by the way?
170, I don't know, but he's older than dirt, so she's pretty close to soil herself.
Now, see, that's the journalistic assessment. So she's not a trophy wife?
No.
Or if she is, she's...
From what I understand, this is his wife, his longtime, or maybe his second or third, but I honestly don't know. I just know that she's the one who pretty much rules the roost.
Okay. Well,
and she
enough.
Says, that Tom Cruise got to go, man. He, Sumner's on the phone.
Oh, no, that's the thing. I've read a thing in, like, GQ or Esquire or something a while back and it was a whole article literally about the soul of the article was how to talk to the boss's wife at a Christmas party.
Yeah.
Because, man, that's the thing. You say the wrong thing, you spill something on her, you know, you're drunk and the wrong word comes out, you're hosed.
Yeah, because pillow talk will kill you.
Totally.
They get home at night and they're talking about the party, and man, and if the old man doesn't like the way you treated his wife, you're gone.
I don't like that Rick Emerson, you know, and then you're gone before he's back.
Oh, are you
lunch.
A Viacom station?
What's that?
You're not a Viacom station, are you?
Well, there was that whole, I mean, we were Infinity. There's CBS, but then there was that split.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they just flipped a coin, and like half the stuff ended up with Sumner Redstone, and the other half ended up with, you know, it just got split right down the middle. So.
Well, I've met him. He's a great guy.
Oh, he seems like a cool guy. And here's the thing. It's not just that he's talking smack about Tom Cruise as such. It's that he is speaking honestly, which is a thing that you so rarely, you know, you get that boilerplate. I respect Tom as an artist and as a business partner, and I wish him the best with, you know, all of his future projects.
And until Sumner stuck a pin in Tom Cruise was all puffed up like he had all the power in the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so it was great that Sumner had the guts to say, who are you?
Yeah, seriously. And that really is...
couch jumping Scientologist,
yeah? Yeah.
That's get out of my house.
That is the thing about Tom Cruise. Get off my lawn. The thing about Tom Cruise is, and this situation, it is like Jonas Nightingale once said. He said, and not that Tom Cruise is nobody, but he said, you know, you give a little man a little power, and suddenly he thinks he's powerful. Well, here's the thing. It's all relative.
Mm-hmm.
And as Verbal Kint says in the Usual Suspect, you know, he showed these men of power what power really was. And then I think you're Tom Cruise. You start thinking you own the world until the guy who actually does it comes along and decides that he's going to flick you off of his shoulder like a gnat.
Yeah.
Which
Cruise surfaced okay here, you know, getting involved with MGM and then MGM giving him the reins of United Artists, if you will. You know, and what'll happen is there'll be about four movies a year come out of that United Artists studio or company. Two or three small ones and then one big Tom Cruise one that'll be more of an MGM movie.
Yeah, which nobody will see, by the way.
I don't think so.
Movies that no one will go to see.
The only movie I really liked with Tom Cruise in it, I mean, Rain Man was okay because of Dustin Hoffman, but I like Taps.
Oh, Taps is a great film. Old school. Also, Sean Penn in that.
Yeah.
Sean Penn and Timothy Hutton,
Timothy
too,
Hutton,
right?
Timothy Hutton, Sean Penn. Yeah, and Cruise was this, you know, the crazy Red Beret.
Totally. Have you seen Taps, Sarah? George C. Scott?
Oh, yeah.
No,
it's a fantastic film. It's a great premise. It is.
Carol
Bache. It is. Yeah. It is what Don Simpson, the late Don Simpson, would call a high concept movie. It is about some cadets at a military academy who revolt and take over the school. And it's just a great concept. And it's a great movie. And Cruise is really good.
Kind of like Toy Soldiers, but instead of terrorists, it's the school itself.
It's the cadets itself. And Cruise is great because he plays a guy who's crazy.
Yeah.
And there's that scene when Cruise is up in the window with a machine gun.
It's beautiful, man.
It's beautiful. Exactly. It's beautiful. And he's like firing into the crowd from the window. It's beautiful. And he's like 16 and crazy.
Yeah.
And just like full on screaming nuts. And I mean.
And the funniest part to me, though, was when he first opened his mouth in the movie, back when I saw it in 81 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Here's this guy, fairly buff, and he goes, hey, don't come in here. Oh, man.
No, it's a great movie. You haven't seen Taps, you really ought to. You ought to see it. George C. Scott is
very good
in that movie. Yeah. It's Cruise and his partner, Paula Wagner. And who is Paula Wagner?
She's been his production partner for years.
Now, is that the sister?
His sister?
Yeah, because didn't he do this stupid Behind the Music thing where he put his sister in charge of some aspect of his career?
I think he was the publicist.
She's the publicist, right. And so, Paula, is she somebody from the church, or is she just...
No, she's been around for a long time. She's a pretty cool person. I would imagine she's involved in Scientology now, though.
It seems like, I mean, I wonder if that is like a rule about him, because there was that... There was that rumor when they were filming Far and Away that, like, he made them buy a bunch of recording equipment made by the Church of Scientology, and, like, all the camera lenses or whatever had to be, you know, Scientology-developed camera lenses and crap, and it's like the Scientology equivalent of that, the Van Halen thing about how they don't want any brown M&Ms backstage.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Let's see, we've got a question, actually, that's been emailed about you.
Uh-oh.
It says, Rick, Tom Likas, you know, we have Tom Likas in town tonight. He's doing his show live from here. And it says, Rick, can we create some kind of newsworthy event that will have a that will cause Jim Roop to come to Portland? We need a Jim Roop listener party. Because, in the words of Bill Murray, quote, I want to party with that guy, end quote. In terms of, now this is a listener saying this, this is not me. In terms of personality, Jim Roop is the anti-Costantini and really gels with the show, not to mention that he's a West Coast guy, so he's relatable. Ideally, we would have all the CNN correspondents in at once, but we shouldn't be greedy. So what will it be, Rick? Earthquake? Flood? Serial killer? E. coli? Just let us know what it'll take to get that guy in town, and we'll make it happen. Rob, P.S., women will be there, even if we have to hire them. So there you go.
Listeners, that's very nice.
Listeners demanding your presence in Portland, Jim Roop.
That's very nice, but if you make it a newsworthy event, I'll have to work while I'm there.
Well, I mean, we could schedule the newsworthy event so it happens right at the end.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Like, we'll bring you to town, and then we'll just have someone killed so you have something to talk about. Not that I would, I mean, that would be wrong. I'm just saying, theoretically.
Not that you condone any of that.
No, that would be wrong.
That's a very nice thing that your listener there said, and I appreciate it.
No, the people love you. The people do. And when he says anti-Costantini, it's not that we don't love Bob Costantini, we do. It's just that he's a very, he is very straightforward and sort of reserved, kind of dry. But he works with it. He makes it work. So, there we go. All right, Jim Roop, enjoy your weekend, my brother, and we will talk to you very soon.
Thank you very much.
There you go, Jim Roop from Los Angeles. Ladies and gentlemen, CNN Radio correspondent.
How could you not love that guy?
Hey, he's the best.
He is.
Look, I love Lisa Goddard. I love Ed McCarthy. Bob Costantini has a certain dry panache.
Jim has nothing holding him back. He doesn't even stop to think. He just responds.
He has no filter. He just doesn't care. That's the great thing. He just doesn't give a rip. That's the best thing about him. Good times. Speaking of audio, though, thank you, Scotty. He's typing on the screen. You love Lisa for numeral four. For real. Yes, it's Rick and Lisa forever, Scotty. Let's see. Tim, is Tim Riley around here? Tim Riley, if you can, if Tim can come back to the studio. Speaking, we were just playing Scotty J's air check a moment ago. He gave this from Mount Hood Community College. I have here, let me make sure that I've got this. Where is the Friday folder? Let's see. Friday. And I want to play this.
You want me?
Hello. Come and get me. Hello, Tim Riley.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to play a couple of these things.
What are they?
Well, wouldn't you like to know? This is I can't remember if this is a thing you gave to me or whether a former godlike program director of
JOTK
Bruce Agler gave to me. Mm-hmm. But we have here a couple of things that you may be interested in. We've been teasing these for literally a month and a half, and I wanted to actually get to these. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's turn back the hands of time.
Hot talk. Oh, my God.
Wait for it.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 12:30. I'm Tim Riley. Let's take a break from all the cruelty going on in the world and talk about something positive this newscast. Let's take a break from the KOTK Sunday School, featuring words to live by from His Holiness Pope John Paul II. Today, the Holy Father addresses the growing problem of pedophile priests. Thank you for those inspiring words, Your Eminence. You've been listening to the KOTK Sunday School. Between the alert and perky, Pope John Paul II. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon, mostly sunny skies, highs in the 50s. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
That
definitely has a Bruce Agler influence.
Oh,
to it.
My God.
What sells that whole bit is the bong at the end.
That's how Jim and I really got to know each other, because I was running Lycus in the afternoons, and you would always do the news updates.
It's true.
And during the dark days of the Liz Wiles show. Everyone just falls silent. We're trying to think of something good to say, aren't we?
J-O-T-K.
Do you have any more?
Oh, do I ever? Let's see.
Do you have any parts of the show, or are they all Tim?
I don't think I have any parts of the show. I have some other sort of KOTK elements here.
Hot talk.
Oh, dude.
It's 5 o'clock. Totally. What else do I have here? I think this is the news open. I think I must have gotten these from Bruce. He must have given these to me.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Fantastic. And let's see, we've got one more here. This is, well, see, and I remember, here is... It's not, well, again, I think we've already given the disclaimer that today's it's perfectly fine just to sit and endlessly Twitter about radio. Well, because Lycus is going to be here.
Yes.
And in addition to, as cheesy as it sounds, I am not just a radio host, I'm a radio fan. I'm a radio fan. I celebrate his entire catalog. But, you know, we were talking about radio days and about that movie Telling Lies in America and just talking, geeking out about radio stuff, Craig Adams style. But I... Let's see. So when I did the national show, which was terrible, and then, but when I was doing that and I came back and then I was not working with you, though, when I first came back, wasn't I still doing with Bob McNabb?
Right.
Or something?
Bob was still there.
Bob was still there. And I had really only heard Tim do his news a couple of times, but enough that you're sort of driving along in traffic. Like, I have this crystal clear memory of being in my car, being in the center I was driving at that time, driving down first past that Plaid Pantry towards the 7-Eleven. And Tim came on, and you were the best story. Tim came on, I'm driving along in my car, and I'd only ever met Tim just a handful of times. Driving along in my car, and Tim comes on to do the news, and he has, you know, he has the intro.
K-O-T-K!
Whatever. He says, a young couple who were, you know, the young couple who were in the park by the river last night at 2 a.m. were mugged and robbed of all their possessions. That'll teach them to be seeking fast, you know, kicks and cheap thrills after dark, serves them right. You know, and I remember turning and just looking at the radio and sort of squinting like, who is this? And then I remember being at the toy drive with, I think, Christina, actually. And it was either both, it was either all, no, because you were on the radio. This is the thing, is you, we were listening to you.
Was that the day we went to Salvador Molly's afterward?
With no, Big Gay Sarah?
We were all there for that one. Because I remember we were all on television.
Yeah.
That's right. Richard Nunn was there, and I looked like a drowned rat. It must have been the previous year.
We were all drowned rats.
That was right when Christina was leaving, and I was taking her spot, because that was the last thing that she was at.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so we had the radio on, and I remember you were talking about, I don't think it was Enron at that point, but there was some, maybe it was. It might have been the early days of the Enron scandal. But we're listening, to, we're sitting there in the rain, collecting toys for the children. And Tim is doing his news in the background of the radio, and he's talking about Enron, and everybody's talking. It was very early in that scandal, but he's talking about it in very staid, serious terms. And Tim Riley said, you know, for comments on the Enron scandal, we have this. And then you just cut to that, the Grinch thing. Your soul is an appalling dung heap. And then he just came back and went on like nothing had happened. And at that moment, I knew that we were destined for great things. Let's have one more here. This is Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm Tim Riley. No, it wasn't an endless scrumptious buffet on one of the fun ships of Carnival Cruise Lines. That now dead Colombian stowaway found in the rudder of that cargo ship that docked at Vancouver ate nothing but soggy bread for 12 days. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, even in between. So did his two cohorts who were now recovering in a manual for malnutrition and dehydration. Yes, we'll fatten them up. After all, we are Americans. But then we'll turn them over to the INS for deportation. Police in Laughlin, Nevada is still on the alert for the possibility of more violence between biker gangs. Joel Hearns of the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce says, hello, three people were killed over the weekend. She doesn't want to give us the impression that, well, Laughlin is some hotbed of hell. As you can hear, Laughlin is usually quiet. Lieutenant Terry Katz of the police department out there says the trouble was caused by 1% of that group. 99% are, well, well-behaved. What to do about that 1% now, Terry?
So what you concentrate on is the 1% who call themselves, incidentally, 1%ers. You concentrate on them and try and prevent them from causing trouble for the other 99%.
So, if I want to join a biker gang, which one should I choose?
The Hells Angels are the largest gang, motorcycle gang in the world, and they are certainly the best known. The Mongols are not as well known and have had a series of conflicts with the Hells Angels out in California and in the western states.
Decisions, decisions. The Mongols or the Hells Angels. You decide. Partly sunny the rest of this afternoon. High near 65 clear. Tonight lows about 40. And tomorrow sunny again. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
KOTK!
Fantastic.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
That was the helm of under the helm of Bruce Agler.
It was the man
who encouraged such things on a daily basis.
The man who molded this program, for better or worse. You know, honey, he's such a quiet, unassuming man.
Hi.
Okay. Yeah, really, I have to say that anything good, anything good you hear me doing, any small shred of humor or talent I have, really only exists because Bruce Agler was able to, like, somehow rescue it from the big pile of dung that was my program.
on several occasions.
Seriously, gave me like 18 different chances to do the show until it became amusing. And it's really only amusing now because I'm here with Tim and Sarah. So there you go. Let's get this called and we'll hello.
Somebody's filling up.
Is this an obscene phone call? Okay.
Sounds like the sound of Les Schwabs.
All right. And we're done.
Was that our one phone call?
Yes, I think it was.
K-O-T-K!
Fantastic. Let's take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio going to join us a while. Don't forget, Tom Likas. We're about 90 minutes away from Likas live at Barracuda. Woo! Downtown, 3 to 7 p.m. No cover, no ticket, no charge, no nothing. Just be there. Grab your ID. Be there. 3 o'clock today. Tom Likas live at Barracuda. Here's the Ramones. We're back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-7... Did you misplace your drinky-poo?
I don't know where my coffee is.
Oh. It's 503-733-2970. You just missed Sarah and I fighting over the bathroom, by the way. At least I had actual bathroom business to do.
You do not. It's just out of habit.
I don't. Yes, it's an imaginary...
Nobody has to pee every 15 minutes.
It's imaginary pee.
It is. You've just trained yourself
it's
to do it.
Psychosomatic. The bathroom needs. All right.
I'm sorry for blocking the bathroom.
I was, there's some joke there. Blocked something. Well, whatever. Anyway. Hey, so I got the, what's sad is I was hoping to be hatless today, but I think I still have to rock the hat. I don't think I can, it's just the hair.
Hey, it's raining out. You don't want to catch a cold.
That's true. Wear your rubbers. It's 503-733-2970. That used to amuse us to no end. Not unlike when we were in church and the priest would refer to, I remember this one sermon where the priest is talking about how it's the same Catholic thing about how we're useless scum and we're lucky that God loves us because we're stupid and heathens and retarded and whatever. And, you know, you're lucky that God doesn't kill you all right now, which is basically the whole Catholic thing. But he referred to humankind as being sort of a motley crew of people and we're all...
motley crew.
Anyway, and that wasn't very funny. 503-733-2970. Just a moment, welcome a Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. .com. Don't forget, we're about 90 minutes away from Tom Likas, broadcasting his show live, baby, live, as an XS once said, from Barracuda downtown, 3 to 7. We have a sad snuff watch coming up here in just a few. We will spring that on an unsuspecting populace. Ladies and gentlemen, here is, at the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So we have the story that changes by the moment here about evangelist Ted Haggart. Yes, he admits he bought methamphetamine from a gay prostitute, had a massage from him, but did not engage in sex.
Why not? What kind of a fool?
This gay prostitute's 49 years old, but, I mean, to each his own, really. I mean, that is an old gay prostitute. How many 49-year-old gay prostitutes are there out there?
I don't know. Maybe we should commission some kind of a study.
Well, let's talk to a gay prostitute, shall we? This is this is the gay prostitute involved in this investigation.
49.
He is 49-year-old Mike Jones, selling his stuff on the streets of
selling his wrinkly Colorado. Ass for cash.
Well, this is Colorado Springs, Colorado, the home of Mork and Mindy. He explains why he decided to publicize this alleged sexual affair with this man of the cloth.
If someone is going to preach against gay marriage and can't even solidify his own marriage, you know, he's a hypocrite.
Maybe he has a great personality.
Well, Haggard resigned as president of the 30 million member association of crazy people today.
Bam. Excellent.
Yes, he's accused of drug use and paying for sex with this male prostitute. Now we have an interim New Life senior pastor. His name is...
Whoa, hold on. New Life? Isn't that what Christina Carlson belonged to?
She might. Yeah. She's one of the followers.
That's unfortunate.
That is for her.
Okay.
This new interim pastor's name is Ross Parsley. He says Haggard has come clean on some issues.
There has been some admission of indiscretion, not admission to all of the material that has been discussed, but there is an admission of some guilt.
This guy sounds a little bit Captain Fantastic himself.
Are you saying he sounds like a 49-year-old gay prostitute?
No, he sounds like a 12-year-old gay prostitute.
There has been some admission.
He's missing the Vietnamese accent, though.
Well, let's talk to Anna Nicole Smith, shall we?
Hello, Joe.
She claims her attorney and significant other, Howard K. Stern, informed her of her son Daniel's death.
It's Daniel's death. I don't understand.
Okay.
This should be a snuff watch.
I was just going to say, he's dead. I think. Wait, has somebody else died in her life?
No, not yet.
No, day's not over. But I
like the music in the background.
I was just going to say, I was feeling sympathy, and then as I heard the wrinkling, tinkling piano music comes
up. I know I'm being manipulated.
That's when you know that she's sitting on a dimly lit set with lots of candles in the background and a purple filter on the camera.
And a veil on. Daniel's dead. I don't understand. Daniel died at the hospital.
Because really, when one is racked with grief, the first thing you do is call Entertainment Tonight.
Mm-hmm. I am so confused. I thought she was the one that found her son. And then she was trying to shake him awake, and now she didn't know until days after.
Well, no, because remember, she's claiming now, Gilligan's Island style, that she has amnesia.
Daughter is named Daniel Lynn.
Yeah, they named the daughter after the son.
With two N's.
Yeah, no pressure. No pressure there. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen any interviews with her, Anna Nicole Smith, Vicki Lynn Hogan, with her family? Back when she was still Vicki Lynn Hogan?
When I watched the Anna Nicole Smith show, one of her redneck toothless cousins came to visit.
Dude, and I'm not lying. Did the girl had a tattoo of her face?
No, well, the one who literally didn't have any teeth. She was all gummy.
Oh, I thought you were... She was gummy. She's a gummy bear.
No, she was all freaky looking.
Well, let's pause for a moment. I'm going to drink this coffee, and then I'm going to tell you a creepy thing.
Did I call the attorney Howard K. Smith? Because he's already dead. I meant Howard K. Smith.
Howard K. Smith.
Yeah. she's having an affair with Howard K. Smith.
That's a broadcasting joke, by the way. Good.
I think I've said that a couple times.
What was his sign-off?
His sign-off was a heart attack, I believe. I have to give that further investigation. But I think that's how he signed off.
Yeah, say goodnight and...
It's not funny. I guess it is.
Howard K. Smith was a journalist on TV News. The thing he would be known to my generation for is he was the newscaster on the miniseries V. And when the humans, and on the TV series too, and they would open every night's episode or every week's episode with the human struggle against the visitors, whatever. But they would open every episode with him on TV giving the status of humans, of the humankind's battle against, you know, the visitors. And he would sign off by saying, blah, 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 and courage, or whatever. He had some Dan Rather-esque sign off. What was Howard K. Smith's sign off? That's going to bug me now.
I don't remember.
Anyway, well, there you go. So, no, Howard K. Smith, I see where you get confused now. Is not Anna Nicole Smith's husband.
Right. That's how I keep getting it confused.
Although he is in the right demographic to be her husband, because he is like 400 years old.
So we have Howard K. Stern, not to be confused with Howard K. Smith, describing how Anna Nicole Smith reacted when she found out her son Daniel was dead with piano music.
She was pleading with Jesus, saying, take me, don't take Daniel.
That's amazing we haven't won a Crystal Award yet.
At the foot of the bed the whole time, and then even afterwards... She wouldn't accept it, and we continued to try and resuscitate him ourselves.
This whole story is gibberish.
This is not making sense.
God damn it, we want answers.
She said that later on, Howard kissed her and took her aside and told her about Daniel, but now he's saying that she's crying at the foot of his bed as he's dying, saying, take me instead. Like, they're conflicting stories. They're sound bites right next to each other. It's very frustrating.
Baby, Rick Emerson understands.
Is it frustrating you?
It is. Is it frustrating where you are? Because
it's really getting my dander up.
Scott Daly is giving Sarah Dillon a neck rub.
And that's a Necrem only.
Yeah. Yes, and then we're going to buy methamphetamine from her
and throw it away.
Okay, yeah, so let's get a handle on herself. So, initially, okay, what was the first version of her and the dead kid?
That she woke up, that he was taking a nap in a chair in her hospital room.
A dirt nap.
And that she woke up and he was, like, vomiting profusely.
Oh, and then blood was coming out of his eyes or something. Yeah,
and they were calling for the nurse, and then the nurse never came, and he died in her arms. That was the first one. Then there was an unknown third person in the room.
The second version was that she had amnesia and couldn't remember anything about it. Not unlike our guy from Denver with the fat wife, who's the wife?
Penny.
Oh, I work at a bowling alley. You know, my name is Ted. Yeah, he couldn't remember anything about it. She had amnesia and couldn't remember anything about it. And everything had to be told to her because she claimed she had no knowledge of it. And then you remember, like, 48 hours after the whatever, she got married on a boat.
Yeah.
So there was that. And then now she's at the foot of the bed saying, no, Lord, save him, take me instead.
But he wasn't even in a bed. He was in a chair.
That's what, see, the whole...
That sounds like an after-school special.
This whole...
And then they also... Did you read that story how they've also found, like, 6 more kinds of drugs in his body?
Bam!
And
no.
Now they're going to exhume him. She's getting kicked out of the Bahamas and bring him back to the United States.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's just a bad...
But see,
horrible story.
Stories like this are the kind that fascinate and frustrate me. Because this is when you... Look, now, I'm just making an observation here. I'm not saying I advocate the beating of suspects by police. But you do understand why the brutal interrogations of suspects in the basements of squad houses happened, right? Because it's... Look at Sarah and I. I have no vested interest in Anna Nicole Smith's dead son, or her live son, or Howard K. Smith, or Howard K. Stern, or anybody. I have no emotional stake in Anna Nicole Smith's uterus. And yet, this story has got us so angry that I want to put everyone in a room and beat them senseless until they just tell me what happened! Are you with me on this? Just tell me! I just want
to
know!
Ship them all to Guantanamo Bay until the truth emerges.
We should.
Well, because the truth is going to inevitably come out, and we're just sitting here being pulled through the ringer with all these lies.
Right!
We're
going
to find out it really is that Larry K. Burkhead... baby, whatever it is, and that Anna's a total junkie. The end. That's it.
Yeah, skip to
dyeing the baby's hair.
I know my name is Steven. Skip to the bottom of the page and just tell us.
Did you read that one?
My name is Steven.
Know about how Anna Nicole Smith's dyeing her baby's hair to make sure that it doesn't look like the blonde Larry Berkman's hair?
It's a baby. It doesn't have any hair. Oh, do they rent the same wig as the freaking Surrey baby? the regulation size baby? All right. The whole thing just frustrates me.
Everybody needs to calm down and talk about Joe Lieberman.
And nobody's still seen Surrey. Surrey still hasn't been seen.
Yeah, don't even get me started on our Morgellons disease. All right.
Well, as anyone would be, Joe Lieberman is pleased to announce he has gained the support of the University of Connecticut men's basketball coach Jim Calhoun.
There's not a finer man and a better leader that I've ever met. So to have Jim Calhoun's endorsement in the final days of a tough campaign in Connecticut is about as close as you can come as getting a gift from heaven.
Walking in that voting booth, looking for the real truth. Vote your heart, vote your mind, bottom line.
All right, there you go. Wait, here we go. Let's talk to...
I'm all up in his grill.
Let's talk to Carol. Carol, hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Carol Token Italian. What's up, sister? What do you got?
Well, I watched this interview on Entertainment Tonight.
We're such
now,
girls.
Her
yeah.
story is now that she thinks, or well, she was thinking that she was being punked. That her
who punks somebody by having their child die in the room?
By saying your kid is dead. Okay.
Okay.
Ashy and Coochie jumps up from underneath the bed.
No, I mean, that is just sick.
Is that
just sick and wrong? You
yeah.
know?
Okay, but that's a dumb. I'm not saying you're dumb, but I'm saying that's. But look, even in the realm of Anna Nicole Smith's drug-addled mind, that's a dumb excuse.
Uh-huh.
Who? No one would punk Anna Nicole Smith by putting the corpse of her son in the room. That's really what we call beyond the pale.
If you watch this interview, okay, on the commercials they show all these tears pouring out of her and stuff, but during the actual watching of it.
She never cries.
Squeeze a tear out to save her life.
So that when they come
somebody's
back,
standing over here with a watering can.
Exactly. Then they come back from commercial. They splattered her with Visine.
She sits there and she's got a runny, sloppy nose and all.
Oh, thank you.
Can't squeeze a tear out for nothing.
Right.
But
right.
She said on there that she thought that she was being punked and she thought it wasn't funny.
Yes. And then Dick Clark burst out of her dead son's sternum and said, "You're on CBS bloopers and practical jokes."
All right. Thank you, Carol. All right, there you go.
I'm all up in his grill.
All right, there you go. It's Carol the Token Italian.
Time for a snuff watch.
Oh, this is sad.
It is.
All right, Joni Giroshi, if you're listening, brace yourself. Here's your late-breaking snuff watch.
Now, the thing is, this happened on Wednesday, and we're just finding out about it now.
Well, she was not especially well-known. I will say that, actually. The last thing that I...
Her name is Adrienne Shelley.
Yeah, Adrienne Shelley, dead. The last thing I remember her seeing her in, this is years ago, is an episode of Homicide, and that was like in 90... God, maybe 2000, something like that. Anyway, this...
Well, she's been found dead in her office in New York by her husband. Shelley found dead 6 p.m. Wednesday. Police said last night they were awaiting autopsy results. The medical examiner's office does not have a cause of death. She was 40. She appeared as Jerry in the 2005 Factotum with Matt Dillon. She starred as Audrey Hugo in the 1989 film The Unbelievable Truth and as Maria Coughlin in the 1990 film Trust.
Now, that is where she achieved whatever degree of fame that she has, which is not much. It was in the indie world. But she was in this movie called Trust, which is a Hal Hartley film. And with a guy named Martin Donovan, Edie Falco was in that as well. A very young Edie Falco, by the way, looking like she's about 15. Trust, which is notable for a couple reasons. A, because it was considered at the time, and time did not bear this out, but it was considered at the time to be the big indie film that was going to break through and put indie cinema on the map. Then it ended up being more of Reservoir Dogs and Clerks and so forth. But it's a fantastic film. It's still probably the defining work of Hal Hartley's career. Trust is notable also... This is sort of a 2 degrees away thing. Trust, the film that Adrienne Shelley was in, it's notable for being one of the two films that inspired Kevin Smith to make movies. Kevin Smith went to see Trust in a theater. The other one was Night on Earth, which is the Jim Jarmusch film. Trust, Kevin Smith said he went to see Trust because Trust has this dialogue that is like nothing you've ever heard, at least not at the time. It's the very, you know, when you go to a movie and you're like, it's funny, they're talking the way people really talk. Well, Trust has a very plain... kind of like a Mamet-esque sort of dialogue where it's very plain-spoken, really profane, but it's not flowery. It's just a very, very clipped, very blunt kind of dialogue. And Kevin Smith said he went to see it and he sat in the theater and it was like a revelation. Like I was saying to Tom Likas, how Tom's show was a revelation to me when I was growing up. That Kevin Smith went to see Trust. And he said that he walked out of there going, wait a minute, I could make movies. I could do that. I could write dialogue. And I'm not going to go on and on about it because it's a movie that very, very few people have seen. But I got to tell you this right now. If you are into... I mean, and it's... I hate to say that it's a romantic comedy because then everybody just pictures, you know, like Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, you know, embracing in a field of poppies or something. It's a very, very dark romantic comedy. But the great thing about it is that it's very real feeling, and it's you know, and it doesn't have a lot of crap and Hollywood garbage shoveled onto it. It's a very sort of misfit oriented kind of people living on society's fringes sort of romantic comedy feel. Anyway, so it's called Trust. You really ought to see it. It's a great, great, great movie. And she's dead. It made a huge impact on me when I was a kid. So I did that when I was growing up. So it's a real downer. Anyway, so there you go. Adrienne Shelley dead as a goddamn doorknob. There you go. Let's do one more, find out about the cab, and then we'll bring on Scott Daly. Let's do one more here from the Ministry of Truth.
Remember Chelsea Clinton? She gets a job. The former first daughter, Chelsea Clinton, has joined Avenue Capital Group, a $20 billion hedge fund. And apparently, she's the only child of the former president and his wife, whose name is Hillary. She has taken a post at the New York-based fund at an undisclosed capacity.
Is she still hot? Because remember, she was...
I haven't seen her lately.
She was, you know, cute as a little kid. Mm. You know, everybody's cute when they're a kid. Mm. And then she was ugly, and then she was hot. And I'm always afraid that that's going to reverse itself again.
So hot, ugly, hot, ugly.
Yeah, who knows? Sometimes they stay hot, and then sometimes it's a temporary thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes nature gives you, Lindsay Lohan style, two or three good years where you look hot, and then you look like a bag full of coat hangers.
So she has a job.
All right. Well, it's good to have
and
you.
And she's alive.
It's unlike Adrienne Shelley, who is dead. Bummed out. All right. But not for long, because Tom Likas is going to be doing his show live from Barracuda this afternoon. Do we have to break?
We really do, because if we're leaving at 2:30, we have
you look
this
very
break
good
and another
today,
one.
By the way.
Thank you.
I'm just...
So, do you want to bring on Scott after the break?
More to the point, I'm just saying, I know you felt like maybe you didn't look your best this week because it was constantly raining where you were, and you were always coming to work all wet and whatnot. I'm just saying you look very good.
Thank you. Yeah, yesterday was a really long day.
It really was. So, we should break. We'll come back. Come back. Find out what's going on with us getting to Barracuda, and then we'll bring on Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. How do you feel about that, Sarah?
I feel fantastic about that. How do you feel about that, Scott Daly?
Aces.
As into swing! D-I-G-E-R.
I just love him so much.
Same random crap for no reason. Hello! It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Like us an hour and 7 minutes from now with Barracuda. Here's Jack Black.